I'm waiting for my burgers to be well done. And in the meantime, we're going to chat about the Biden campaign, local politicians in New York City, American Pride, and Shake Shack burger sauce. Stay to the end if you want to hear that audio I referenced regarding Mayor de Blasio in a town hall meeting where his constituents gave him a piece of their mind. Stay here. I have hamburgers cooking on my cast iron pan right now. I'm going to make it with a delicious copycat sauce from Smash Burger. No, Shake Shack. There you go. I forgot the name. Anyway, I have a recipe. I'll put the link for it. I made it some time ago. I fell in love with the Shake Shack burger sauce. And obviously, I can't have it whenever I want. So I had to figure out how to make it at home. And of course, thanks to YouTube, there was someone with a recipe. And I made it. And it is the bomb. Now, I don't have the recipe in front of me, so I'm winging it. I know that it takes part mayo, part ketchup, more mayo than ketchup. A garlic clove or two, and sweet relish. If I recall, those were the ingredients. I may be missing something, but I can't think about what it is right now, but no worries, because the actual recipe will be in my video that I made some time ago. It was my recipe review for that sauce. I'm gonna be very generous with the mayo and ketchup because I want a lot of it. And then I'm gonna put a nice piece of lettuce in there with a tomato and enjoy myself. I think I have some large steak tomatoes, so it'll be the perfect size for the hamburger and the bun. And we have pepper jack cheese today, so that's what we'll add on top. And that's about it for my meal portion of the podcast. Now let's get into the other stuff. I was thinking back about the 2016 election and how upset people were when Trump won. And I do recall the sight of grown adults in tears. They were literally crying, like really, really crying. I, of course, shed no such tears because even though back then my head was pretty much buried in the sand and I couldn't tell a Republican from a Democrat, the one thing I did know was simple. I didn't want her. Now I want to talk about Biden, present day competitor for the throne. And I want to say this as kindly as I can without sounding like it's ageism, because yes, Trump is in his 70s too, but he's already been at it for 4 years and he's younger than Biden is now when he started running, you know, in the position. And also, as I've said before, Trump has demonstrated the ability and the stamina to keep up with the rigors of the job. And Biden, I feel like he lost his chance. You know, if he didn't run immediately after Obama, because from what I understand, he was discouraged to do so, I don't see how all these years later, he's the one for the job. And frankly, I don't understand this endgame. Why would the Democratic Party put him as the person in the front? If they hated Trump so much and they had all these years to plan their attack, why him? I know that there were other people and that they were dropping like flies one after the other, but why even that group of people? Why not whoever it is that would be the best candidate? Didn't they strategize about this? Didn't they figure that, you know, before 2020 rolls around, we're going to have something like you've never seen? Also, if it's true that he's just an empty suit or a Trojan horse, is Kamala supposed to be the president? And even though she had such she did so poorly in the polls, why would she be the one to take over if she wasn't so well received? And if it is true that Biden is not the one making the decisions behind the scenes? Or is it because whether you like her or not, she's, as they say, easy to manipulate and will go any which way they want her to go? Another puppet, so to speak. It's very confusing to me. And then there's these rumors circulating, which I've heard different people say, and I'm still not clear if it's accurate, and I'll look it up and do more research, because I can't confirm or deny that if something happens and no one is voted into office, be it Trump or anyone else, that Nancy Pelosi takes over. I don't know, but that's what I heard. And I'm just sharing that right now without knowing if it's accurate. I've seen posts on social media where attorneys would say what exactly would happen and when it would happen if that were to happen. And other people would say there was some other loophole to that, or again, I can't confirm nor deny. So let's move on from the highest office in the land and let's talk about our mayors, because people are pissed off with de Blasio. And they're showing up at Gracie Mansion and they're protesting for him to resign and they're telling him like it is to his face. I have one such town hall meeting that I will put in the audio for you to hear at the end if you're interested. And I think I can also share it on Facebook somehow. But you'd have to go to my page on Facebook to see the actual video. And I got to commend people who are able to stand up on their own two feet and tell a politician to his face how they really feel about what he's doing or what's happening in the city, how it's affecting him, and what he plans to do about it. And one of the women, which you'll hear saying it much better than I could, is that she doesn't feel safe. And then there was another woman, an elderly woman, who said she wants them to, you know, do away with bail reform because it's not working. It's putting people in danger. And then you hear that people are shooting up in broad daylight in Midtown because there's a section of a park that heroin addicts have taken over, or that the city's overrun by the homeless, that crime is rampant. I don't know if these are exaggerations, but I've asked actual people how they feel. And one woman said that she's a true blue diehard New Yorker. And when she was going to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, she was walking against traffic because she just didn't feel safe in the city any longer. And I've heard other people say that everywhere in their boroughs where they live, for sale signs are up. So tell me, if everybody wants to defund the police, and everybody thinks that the police are so lousy, and that there's so much unrest and racism and this and that, how does it help for you to leave? But that just goes to show you, people have always left the hood and will continue to leave the hood in search of a better quality of life instead of sticking it out where it is and making it work because their hands are tied, because the crime is bad, because they don't want to get mugged and they don't want to be in fear of getting attacked or assaulted or God knows what else. And it's the very same people who are saying that, you know, people of color don't have the same opportunities, but as soon as they get a chance to get out of there and they have their opportunity, they go. Otherwise, all those for sale signs wouldn't be up. And God knows, I don't blame anyone for leaving. I shared a story already in a previous podcast about the things I encountered just trying to take my kid to the local playground with a homeless shelter in front, other kinds of dangerous things on the ground. He's playing on black tarp, not even grass. Transvestite prostitutes walking around in broad daylight, people arguing in the street and things escalating when we're just trying to get home in our stroller. So, you know, while me pushing a stroller, pretty scary. Don't blame anyone for hightailing it out of there. But for the people who can't leave, for the people who have to stay, how does defunding the police help them? Once again, the average person may be able to go to a certain extent, but they still have a commute to deal with. But these rich people who don't need to live in any place in particular and have their pick of the land, they're the first ones probably out there protesting about defunding the police. And also, they don't need the police. So the irony is there, the hypocrisy is there, and de Blasio is doing a poor job. There's already stories out there about his wife not doing something with millions or billions of dollars that were supposed to be dedicated to mental health services, I think under the program called Thrive. Now we know he defunded the police for $1 billion. And where are these replacement services? They say it's supposed to go to education. It's supposed to go to mental health. It's supposed to make sure that we demilitarize the police with new tactics and protocols. But only thing he's doing is painting the streets with the Black Lives Matter and saying that the city's better because they let people out of prison, which is another thing. They arrest people for nonsense, and then they let anybody and their mother out because of COVID? Make it make sense. The logic is lost on me. Another local politician that people are upset with is Governor Cuomo. You have people who admire him and worship him and think he's the best thing since sliced bread. They wish he was the next president. And I'm not going to lie, when he was coming out for those daily press conferences during that scary early COVID time when we didn't know which end was up, he held his demeanor very well. He was friendly with the reporters, but of course they're going to be nice to him because he's a Democrat. And I didn't have any complaints about the man. He seemed cool enough to me. But then I hear about what he did to the elderly and put them in nursing homes, and as a result, they died. And then now when he shows up at the DNC convention, he called COVID the European virus. I mean, how shady is that? First, you're saying that, you know, it's a xenophobic thing to call it the name of any country, but then you go ahead and call it the European virus. I mean, don't call it any country virus. I mean, go ahead and say it if it's true, but we all know it came from China, right? Speaking of, when Trump was first calling the virus the China virus, I was amused. I didn't take it personal because I know damn well that things are named that way for a reason, just like Lyme disease, just like Spanish flu, just like other stuff. MRSA, which is for Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. Anyway, I made a comment on social media about, what's the big deal? Call a thing a thing. It is what it is. And someone went out of their way to defend it and say that, not defend calling it that, defend the fact that it shouldn't be called that. And she went on. And that's when I realized, yes, I know this woman is a liberal. So, of course, I expect that response. People just don't have a sense of humor anymore. And she went on to go on into the story how, because he's calling it the China virus, Chinese people are being attacked and looked at funny and being, treated by racists in a bad way, or not in a bad way. If anybody's racist toward them, that is bad. But if that is the case, I don't think it's because it's being called the China virus. I think it's because of people knowing that it came from there, no matter what you call it, right? And of course, they're not to blame for it. Maybe their government is to blame for it, but not the people themselves. And of course, people were paranoid and they didn't want to go to Chinatown and they didn't want to eat Chinese food. And if you think about it on a basic level, and I don't think this is ignorance in any way, shape, or form, if it came from China and you know that people may have just came from there, just got off of a flight from China, and you're scared to death, then yeah, maybe you are going to avoid Chinese people because maybe they came from China and you don't know who else did. But it could be a white person, a black person, or a Spanish person. I'm not going to know they came from China. If I did, I'd want to stay away from them too. So it was just a fear. People were operating under fear, not so much racism. So this friend on Facebook that I actually met in person many years ago, she went on and on to say that. And then from that point on, because COVID was the news of the day, everything that I said, she would just comment on it, to the point where she actually asked me straight out if I was a Trump supporter, which I thought was ballsy. Because just because I'm not bashing him or criticizing him, I'm a supporter? No, I'm just aware of the criticism and the bashing, and I'm not one of those people, so I guess that means I am a supporter. Whatever. Anyway, that was that. And then when the Black Lives Matter stuff started happening, I shared a post that Trina, the rapper Trina, the baddest bee, remember her? She was upset because they had destroyed her friend's business in Miami where she's from. And she was saying that she wanted them to get out of there and clean it up and stop acting like animals. And I think that's the word she used. But of course, you can't use the word animals because then people think you're calling minorities animals or black people animals. Anyone who behaves like an animal is behaving like an animal. That's my opinion and I'm sticking to it. So I shared the post with Trina's comments, which she apparently apologized for after. Her prerogative. She's an entertainer and she has to please her fans. So she said that she didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings and it was probably taken out of context. Whatever. I shared the post about Trina back then, saying that I agreed. I didn't say anything in particular. Maybe just posting it was enough. Or I said, I agree. I don't recall. It's an old post. And I saw that she commented and then deleted it because I'm able to see the activity even though she removed it. So it was there, but only viewable to me. And then it looks like she tried to edit it and delete it. But what she decided to do at the end was, I guess, remove the comment altogether and just unfriend me. That was her response, her decision to make, which is perfectly fine. Because before this happened, I think it was Memorial Day, I posted a picture of the American flag as my cover photo, which everybody does. Everyone I know does this, no matter what their affiliation. In fact, before politics was even a topic of discussion for me personally, I always noticed people posting the flags or patriotic symbols, you know, on those holidays. And I did that on Memorial Day, and I guess that was a mortal sin because around this time now, everything American is taboo. And this was before she unfriended me and before the Trina comment, she put an emoji of, no, she said, I wish there was an emoji for whatever she was feeling, but she didn't elaborate. And then I think it was soon after that, the Trina thing, and then she left. And I'm thinking, lady, I don't have to explain myself to you why I put a flag up on my social media for Memorial Day or any day. And of course, after the holiday, time goes on and I changed it, but she didn't stick around to see it because she was long gone, but that's her bad, you know? Here you go, a liberal who's supposed to be tolerant, and she couldn't tolerate my views because they differed from hers, and she probably didn't expect that of me. She just assumed that I thought the way she thinks, which is unfortunate because we can always have our disagreements and leave them on the table, and one thing doesn't have to do with the other, or at least it shouldn't if you know these people in real life, right? But that's how she felt, and that's what she did. And then comes July 4th, and everybody's saying that it's not their holiday, that it's not their independence, that there's nothing to celebrate, and all this gloom and doom negative stuff. And that's when, again, Trump was at Mount Rushmore, and he was on stolen land. Oh, God. And it was so ridiculous to me. It was so ridiculous to me. All of a sudden, this country represented something so horrible and wicked and evil and racist and yada, yada, yada. But there must be something to this theme that I see all the time when you see liberals and Democrats and usually conservatives say that these people and Nancy and Schumer and all of them, that they're anti-American. And I didn't know that and I didn't understand that. But it makes sense because there's a video on YouTube, and I will post it if I find it, if it's still around, where supposedly a deaf instructor is reading Michelle Obama's lips. And they were doing something on 9/11, and the instructor claims that Obama's wife said, all of this for a damn flag. Hey, she probably thought that they were paying too much attention to the flag or that it wasn't necessary. Who knows? But it definitely demonstrates, if it's true that she said that, her disdain, right, for whatever it represents to her, whatever it symbolizes to her. Which brings me to my final point of the day. I was thinking about how all these liberals want you to identify yourself down to the nook and cranny. You know, he, her, she, he, they, them. The pronouns really are important to them. Even though you've known what you were your whole life. But because they want to be something different other than they were born as, they want you to identify yourself as what you know you are. Anyway, they want you to break yourself down to your, background, your ethnic status, whatever. There's all these varying degrees. Okay, so they want you to identify yourself as all those things. But the one thing they don't want you to use to identify yourself is the American flag, which is ironic, right? Because that is a symbol used to identify every country in the world. And the one that we have is the one that identifies us. So, what is the problem? And I also would like to know, if you went to someone else's country and burned their flag, something tells me that they wouldn't take too kindly to that. And if you are one of those people who hate it here so much, why don't you try that one time? And let me know how it works out for you. Ciao for now. And now what will follow is that audio from that town hall meeting with Mayor de Blasio and some unhappy customers.
Please get rid of the bail reform. Many people are being beaten, slashed, and hurt by criminals being released. They said they'd only release people that are nonviolent, but they're releasing people who are very, very violent. The other day, a Japanese tourist was slashed, and the man who slashed him had slashed someone, a deli worker, and he had pummeled a woman in his apartment building. And people are being slashed and hurt by criminals. Many violent criminals are being released, and New York City is becoming crime city. Could you please get rid of bail reform? To make our city safer, please. The judge feels that someone is a danger to society, regardless of the new bail reform. If a judge feels that that person is a danger to society, I don't think that person should be released. I think a bank robber shouldn't have to rob five banks before they decide, I don't agree with felony, I don't agree with misdemeanor. I believe if you knock a woman's two teeth out, if you slash someone, you throw a kid to the floor, that person should go to jail. Forget bail reform. Bail reform is not working.
I have lived in Queens my whole life. I have been in this area about 14 years. Mr. Mayor, I do not feel safe. I'm telling you as a member who lives here, I don't have a security detail, I don't carry a gun, I don't do anything. I wake up at 5 a.m., I go to work 6 days a week to pay the taxes for this city. The fact is, Mr. Mayor, people are leaving New York. They're not coming in. They're leaving New York. And I'll tell you why I think for the first time I went on the internet and I'm looking for other alternative residents because of this borough-based jail. I don't want this borough-based jail. Again, I know that you and the councilwoman voted for it. I think both of you have no clue what goes on in regular people's lives. The borough-based, if Rikers is broken, you guys get paid big money, fix Rikers. But to have a borough-based jail in Forest Hills, to me, is not the solution. Why don't I feel safe, Mr. Mayor? I see police officers getting dumped with water, and unfortunately, they have to walk away. They don't do anything about it. They walk away. I see police officers get shot. Right.
Come on.
I see all of it. And that is my point, Mr. Mayor. My point is that we don't feel safe. I respect the chief here. Thank you so much for coming, taking time out of your family to be here with us. Thank you very much. But the fact of the matter is the borough-based jails are not the answer. That's my statement, not a question.
I am a granddaughter of immigrants, and I am a daughter of immigrants who came here, and my grandfather bought one of the first houses by working very hard in like 1938, and it's still a family home to this point. It is just disgusting that you have shoved a homeless shelter for 200 men in the neighborhood that my grandparents developed and grew up and where I've grown up. There are 200 men, not from our community, because we keep hearing, oh, they're from your community. They're not from our community. We know that there are a lot of underhanded deals that went into this, and now there are 200 men near schools, near churches. Another preschool pulled out because they did not want to even invest the money. And now it opened up. I am trying to speak to this. It is, but no, it's a done deal and we know it because it was shoved down our throats. And it is disgusting because now I don't feel safe here anymore. Now I have to buy more locks for my doors and a security system because you're not trying to help these men. I'll do 1 second or 30 seconds. You're not trying to help these men. There's nothing about it that you're going to give them any kind of help. You're warehousing them, and we are very aware of the fact what they are getting per head. Someone is making the money on it, and we know all the names. We know everything. It's just disgusting that you have done to this to our community.
Let me just tell you this. I'm 56.
You've gotten your chance.
56 years old, lived in this city my whole life, and you are the worst mayor that New York City has ever seen.
Thank you. So nice of you.
But just for everyday average, I don't know, you feel frustrated or, you know, disappointed or life sometimes is not, doesn't seem to be all it's cracked up to be. I didn't feel the need to make a trip to therapy to see that. And I actually do believe I had a copay. I'm not sure, which I wasn't fond of paying. And it was a strange situation. You know, you walk in, you sit down on a couch or a chair, the clock starts. You get past the initial greeting phase and then you begin and someone's just there quietly looking at you. Yes, they give you their observations. Yes, they share their insight from their perspective and it's supposed to be helpful because they're not their objective. They're not a personal friend or a family who might be judgmental or, you know, it's like a clean slate. And they also might be able to say things. And she had, the therapist that I went to, she did say things that never occurred to me or that I probably would not have thought of had she not said it. So, of course, that's great. But that can also happen sometimes when you open up to people and are part of, you know, I guess a community of other women or friends or family who you feel you can trust and speak with too. And I know that when I talk to a friend after I hang up the phone, I feel 100 times better. I know that when I visit people, I say to myself, well, why don't I do this more often, you know? Because it is. It's good for the heart. It's good for the spirit. It's good to socialize. And I'm not antisocial and I'm not an introvert. I like to call myself an antisocial butterfly because if I'm with people, I'm not going to say I'm the life of the party, but I'm not a wallflower. But I can be just as good at home. I could probably live on an island for a month and win the $40,000. I think there's a challenge out there for some isolated castle. No media, just books and all the food and water you need to survive. If you can survive, I think for a month you get 40 grand. I could survive, no problem. I just can't be away from my kid. But so I think I've taken those silly quizzes and surveys, which I don't know how much credibility they have, but I believe I'm an ambivert, which I didn't even know existed, which means you're not this, you're not that, which makes sense because I seem to be in the middle about a lot of things, although I'll lean towards a certain direction on certain issues, but for the most part, I guess I am that way all around. So even I can't even find the perfect foundation because I don't fit into any category, but that's another story. me trying to find out what my undertone is. That's a makeup situation, but I digress. So yeah, it wasn't for me. And this friend, she really wanted to find another therapist with her new insurance. And she was moping a lot about the work situation. So imagine you're sitting at your desk from 9 to 5 and then you get up and get on the train, you sit again, and then you go home, do whatever, go to bed. Okay. If you go to therapy, you're also sitting. She also spent a lot of money on makeup and special creams and this and that. And this is good for your hair and this is good for your skin. And, you know, all of that costs money. And ever since I had my child and I couldn't even buy not even fancy shampoos anymore, I always buy the basics. And I probably go too far extreme in that sense because I do need some proper products for this hair of mine. I told her one day, I says, you know, all the money that you spend on makeup and creams, you know, they all promise you the moon and the stars. And I'm not saying that there aren't creams out there that will really hide your wrinkles or make your skin look more elastic or give you more elasticity. I don't know if I said that correctly. Make you look more dewy and youthful. I said, imagine if you didn't spend money on all that makeup. And even if you didn't pay that copay for the therapy and you just hit the gym hard or you made it your business to, you know, be consistent with a hobby or something like that. I think the woman who's working out and is fit, she just has a natural glow from within that no makeup can buy. And maybe your hair's sweaty half the time and maybe you can't, you know, look the way you want to look in terms of, you know, because you have to wear gym gear and you don't have time. You know, if you're going to sweat your hair out, why would you even bother fixing your hair? And who's going to put on makeup, right, if they're going to go? Well, I guess people do put on makeup to the gym. I used to put on mascara myself.